This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
I know you said not to contact you. And I know how angry you must have been when you left. There's things you need to know, Alice. Things I can't leave in a message.
When I was little, everything went up in flames. What the hell happened out there?
Alice is my granddaughter, and she will be living with us from now on. I just promised I'd keep her safe. Can we do that, Twig?
Hey everybody, I am back. It's me, it's Tiff, it's The Film Effect, and I seem to be back on a roll. I have Susan back.
Woohoo!
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thanks for asking me to come.
Oh my God, of course. And as I mentioned on the last episode, I'm trying a new thing. I'm trying to bring a bit of recovery to movies and TV shows, or the reverse of that, right?
I think it's fantastic. I think there's so many of these underlying themes that we don't even realize. Like, there's this whole spiritual thread that comes through, and sometimes we don't even pick up on it. So I like that this is the new focus.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing I didn't think about necessarily is that, like, am I outing you, having you, like, it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm an Al-Anon.
Same.
I actually have had a lapse recently.
I
was actually talking to a friend of mine, and I said, this is what a relapse in Al-Anon looks like. It's not quite as intense and crazy as a relapse in AA, but yeah, it still can be devastating.
I've done that a bit.
Yeah.
I would say more than a bit. Yeah.
I'm letting people just pick at me. So I need to get back into my spiritual practice. So this is a really nice kickoff.
I'm so glad. Let's talk about it. So if you're listening, as I mentioned before, we are not, what's the word? I don't necessarily represent Al-Anon.
We're not sponsored by Al-Anon.
No, and we are just people sharing our own experience, strength, and hope of our own recovery. If you're in any kind of recovery, this is a good place to be. We're definitely going to talk a little bit about some of the themes we experience in those rooms or in those places. And honestly, it doesn't matter if you are or not, because it's still the same show. We're just kind of adding a little more personal twist on it, because you know me, I love to talk about my personal life on a podcast. So let's go for it. So this week, what we're going to discuss is not a movie. We're talking about a TV show.
So good.
So good.
So good.
Called The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart.
It's on Amazon Prime. If you don't have it, just message the podcast and I'll give you my login.
Okay.
So good.
She's giving it away. Get ready. You're in for it. Just kidding.
So good.
It's crazy.
First five people.
Well, I told you about it, right?
Yes.
Because we were, I don't know what other show we were talking about.
I don't know. So many.
So many. And I'll just give you, you know, I'm looking it up here on my trusted IMDb website. This was also taken from a book, which I found out later. I do not read, guys. Sorry, I try.
I know. I kind of want to read the book. And there's actually like a second book, but it's not, it's like the themes are the same, but I don't
know
if there's a lot of character.
I was wondering if there was more to come after that.
Yeah,
this show ended. Why can't I find just the regular info, dude? Why is there so much weird stuff on here? Okay, well, anyway, it's this year, 2023. It is a TV miniseries. Stars, of course.
Did you even realize
Sigourney Weaver's
our favorite?
Yes, she's back, and she's great.
She is so good.
She's great.
She's so good.
I love her. And then there's Asher, Keddie, Leah. There's more people. I mean, I'm going to murder all of their names. That's what I do here.
Yeah, she was the only one I recognized.
It seemed like Australian or New Zealand or...
I think they're in Australia.
Is that... I don't want to...
I feel like they're in Australia.
Yeah, it definitely felt like... And then for Sigourney, I love you, Sigourney, but at times I was like, are you doing the accent? Are you not doing the accent?
Yeah.
I don't mean to give her a hard time.
But she's so crazy, though, that I could let that go.
God, I just... Yeah, I have a lot of respect for her in general and all the badass women she plays.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't play weak ladies.
No.
Not at all.
Fully committed to whatever it is that she's doing.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a tough show to watch. I'm going to just say that. I had no idea. I just literally was like on Prime and I'm like, boop, this looks good. And I put it on and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super triggering. Also tons of spoiler alerts coming. So.
Oh yeah. We're going to spoil it all. We always do.
So just know that.
Please watch it before you listen to this.
Right.
Or at least watch some of it, but we're probably going to just talk about all of it. So,
right. In no specific order.
No. Why would I do that? No, that's not what we're here to do. So I'm just going to jump right in. So the story, if you don't know, is, come on, give me a one line something. Give me a description. I might need to just go to like, this description is, follows a young girl, Alice Hart, whose violent childhood casts a dark shadow over her adult life. I mean, accurate.
Yeah, but like so vague.
I think it's hard to describe in one sentence, but I think that's just the one sentence. Oh, here's the longer one. Should we give him that?
Yeah.
When Alice, aged 9, tragically loses her parents in a mysterious fire, she is taken to live with her grandmother, June, at Thornfield Flower Farm, where she learns that there are secrets within secrets about her and her family's past. Set against Australia's breathtaking natural landscape, and there you go, Australia, and with native wildflowers and plants providing a way to express the inexpressible, this enthralling family drama spans decades. Alice's journey as she grows from her complicated past builds to an emotional climax when she finds herself fighting for her life against a man she loves. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The flower stuff was really cool.
I loved the flower stuff.
Right?
Yeah, that was really cool. They used all those flowers to like communicate and there was that whole big flower Bible and...
It's actually floriography. I had to like look it up.
Oh, that's so cool.
So you can actually... I know. I got obsessed with that. So... It is a thing, mm-hmm. like where you can actually buy these kind of like books on floriography and they will tell you what each flower's meaning is and also like what certain bouquets mean when you put them together.
Oh, wow.
So it is an actual thing. I didn't think, I thought they kind of made it up and then I was like, no, check it out. You can, if you really want to get into communicating with flowers.
Can we talk about the saddest scene about
the
flowers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is like, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes in when June and her partner have that big falling out and June takes all those bouquets. Oh, she has all the people, all the workers, which by the way are abused women that come to the farm and they're called I think they're called wildflowers also, aren't they? And so she like has this home for abused women. And anyway, so they're all working this farm and they bring all these bouquets that mean basically, forgive me, I love you. And she lays them out on her partner's bed.
Yeah.
And she goes in there and it's just destroyed. It was... Now, the partner had every reason to do that, and it was heartbreaking. It was awful.
Yeah, there's a lot of real stuff in this show, which is why I liked it a lot. Like, and you said, actually, let's jump into the themes real quick.
Yeah.
So the show does have a lot of violence. It has domestic abuse, obviously people that have issues with alcohol, or drugs or whatever, and children who are kind of in the middle of all that.
Yeah, I think for me, the part that was really triggering for me is that my family of origin does not have alcoholics in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I married into that.
Right.
And I could really connect with the wife, with Alice's mom, because she was in that same kind of situation. She didn't expect her husband...
Yeah.
To be the way that he was. And then she felt trapped. She couldn't figure out how to get out.
Yeah.
Pregnant with a baby. Alice was what, like 9, 7, 8, yeah. 9, something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And like there's just so many scenes where I actually really like how they put that together because at first you're like not sure. Like I was watching and I was like, wait, is this an abusive
family? I think that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
The way they reveal it because... That's how it must feel to a child.
Right.
You know, like you don't know. And I mean, being in recovery and you listen to people share, you know, if you go to meetings or whatever, I hear stories like that a lot. A lot of times people don't, and this I've heard so much, is like people come into recovery and they're like, well, I don't think that my family had any issues with that. Like if it wasn't extreme.
Right.
But then they do a little bit of like thinking back and it's like, well, actually, yeah. I mean, like my dad lived in the basement and like he always had a beer. Like, So like it is confusing to children. I think there could be scenarios where when you finally figure out what's going on, it's like so over the top, kind of like it happens in the show. I don't think in the beginning, you know how long, and they don't let you know, like you don't know how long, what's the kid's name? Sorry.
The girl, Alice.
The girl. Oh my God.
The main character, Alice.
That's right, everybody. I still feel confident enough to do a podcast. Just that's the way it works. But I think I had a point. I wonder how long, because you do find out that she's been physically abused, but you don't really know how early it started.
Yeah. I think like one of those themes that came up in recovery and also highlighted in the show was that idea of isolation.
Yes.
Like they live out in the boonies.
Yep.
He has the car. Mm-hmm. He leaves for the week. He comes back. There has to be enough food for them for the week because that's all they've got. Walking to town is hard, right? Like it's not like it's close.
Yeah. Like he doesn't even want her to go to the library.
Correct. And like there's all these ways of isolating, and so they have to, you know, they live on this beautiful land, but they have to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no,
and you always wonder, like, is that because he said that, or are they just so afraid to, because that's one theme is isolation. Mm-hmm. So we have like, I was thinking one of the first things I thought of was secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much goes on around that. And in this show, everyone's keeping secrets on a level. Like, well, at least June is. June, you find out as the show goes on how many secrets she's actually keeping.
Yeah.
From so many people.
Yeah, the grandmother, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what really gets her into trouble is by not being honest with people about the realities of the things. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because she's holding the truth for so many other damaged people. Like she's allowing these people to come in and like, tell their story or whatever and like have support. But she's trying to control outcomes and things with her secrecy. Like now we're jumping around, but like,
I think that's the guilt.
Is that the guilt? Yeah. What is that?
Because she knows that her son is abusive.
Right.
And he practically rapes the girl that's living with them.
Yeah.
That they, like her adopted daughter.
Yeah.
And then they send the daughter away and they know that he's abusive and she doesn't know how to change him.
No. And she's trying to keep almost like people away. It doesn't work anyway though.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work. And then she does it to Alice in such an extreme way.
Yeah. How fucked up was it that she sent the kid back to wherever he was from, Romania?
That's crazy. That is very controlling. So I see themes of, we're just going to talk about some of the themes.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Secrecy, it's okay. Secrecy, the isolation is big. Control. What's another one? Well, I mean, guilt is always there. Those are enough. I mean, honestly, you don't have to go on and on and on.
Let's get all of them in there. I'm sure all of them. Which also relates to character defects, right?
Yeah, right.
And all is part of it.
It is. And all of it is out of fear.
Yeah.
So much fear because June herself is a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and it's interesting because she does create this beautiful place for people to show up, have a place to be, build their lives back.
Even the story of how she gets pregnant is not, it's awful.
It's awful.
Like everybody, the truth is awful, yes, but the awful story she makes is beautiful. I don't know. It's that whole thing I'm thinking about, like when I was with active alcoholism, like how to make life bearable. Because you know that if you were to tell somebody, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong? Yeah. Like, what are you, why are you doing this?
That's why people keep secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all motivated by fear. For me, anyway. It's all motivated by
fear. So what were the things that you related to the most? I mean, should we go there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Definitely the wife.
Okay.
Of the abused husband.
Mm-hmm.
Abuser husband. The partner of the grandmother, which mm-hmm. I can't think of her name right now, but she is...
I can find out. I have a computer right here.
She's Native Australian. She but that, like, trying to wade through all of the secrets and the denial and the lies that June tells for her own reasons. So that... the partner.
Twig?
Yes, thank you, Twig.
So Twig.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really reveal if they're together.
Oh, I totally made that assumption.
I think you are supposed to think that, but right? I mean,
yeah, I totally made
they're
that.
They're not like,
I totally made that assumption.
I used to have this running joke with like women that aren't lesbians on TV shows, and I'll never forget, what was that show back in the 80s or something? It was like Alice and they were like friends that were living together.
Laverne and Shirley?
No, well, there's that. But there was another one, and it was like two women who were just friends and they were raising their kids together, and I was like, what was that show?
Hmm.
It's like Alice and Kate or something.
I don't know that
one. Oh my God. Please, if anybody knows, please write in. I'm going to look it up. But honestly, that was a weird show too. Yeah. And I was like, oh, can you just live with your friend and your kids? Like, sounds pretty good. I mean, yeah,
sounds amazing.
This is way before my situation, but I didn't even think about it. Yeah. So that's Twig. I don't mean to interrupt your train.
No, no, you're good. I don't know. I guess really for me, it was the partners and that feeling of helplessness. And I think the thing that's really that I think about is I always knew that the alcoholic was going to like have a reaction or explode. I just didn't know when that reaction was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened a lot in the show, which was triggering for me, like not knowing when the addict or the person who's not in recovery or whatever was going to explode and what that level of explosion was going to be.
Okay. See, it's funny because I didn't experience that as much.
What did you experience?
This is hard to talk about. Always like, how can you talk about just you? I think just a lot of confusion and like what felt like manipulation. Mm. Which may have not been intentional like at all because of the disease or whatever you want to call it. But like when you're with active, it's very... I don't know. I just like was always trying to decipher what the truth was. I was kind of like, I wasn't with a person that had outbursts. Although what's funny is when I start looking back at my relationships, going back to like high school. So like I did have like two boyfriends, one of which was my senior year, who now I recognize was absolutely an alcoholic and his family was very alcoholic. And I think because we were always partying all the time and going to parties. So he would always do this thing where he would drink too much and he would just like get angry and he'd always throw some shit.
Mm.
But sometimes it would be thrown at me.
Mm.
And a lot of times it was around other people. So it felt like it's always that funny story. You know, it's so funny how people can like, oh man, you know, he got crazy again. He's throwing that shit around the room. And everyone's like, you're nuts, dude. You know, like it's not even taken seriously. But I remember vividly some of those moments where he would just get really nasty and like scare the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that wasn't okay. It's funny how you can excuse it though.
Yeah.
Or just say like, oh, it was just that one time, or like, they're not really like that. And I think as women, and maybe this is a whole other topic, but we do have a tendency to like, in any situation, make a lot of excuses for male behavior and be like, oh, well, that's just how guys get, because they're men. I mean, my dad punched a couple holes in the wall when I was growing up.
Mm.
But that was, you know what that was taken as? And my parents didn't drink at all, really. It was the, your dad's Italian.
Oh, this is temper.
He gets angry.
It's his temper.
Yeah, and then you reinforce that with a bunch of Godfather movies and every other movie you've seen about Italians. And it's like, yeah, Italians do that. They just, they're loud and they get, and I only saw him do it like maybe three times my entire life that he got angry.
So that's a lot.
But it's still like, what happened?
That's a lot.
So, and my brother gets very angry. He loses his shit, man. So anyway, I don't want to bring it, bounce it back to you.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
That's it. I mean, I just think like I haven't had in that, I guess I was saying in my experience with my qualifying situation, like I didn't experience that, but it was just as much of a, I felt like it was such a mind fuck is how I felt all the time, which is totally confused about what's going on, what's real.
Well, I think that was Alice, right? Like that was her. She didn't know what was real.
Yeah.
And what, like she was convinced for her whole life that she actually is the one that killed her father.
Right.
And then.
That is crazy. Right, yes.
Her whole life. And June knows the truth. I thought, you know what I really liked?
Yeah.
Actually was how they did June raising Alice and then the librarian raising Alice's brother.
That was interesting.
Uh-huh. And the complete juxtaposition of like what an honest, open, truthful family structure looks like, which was the librarian, which I can't think of her name right now, and the brother. And although she lied to her husband.
She did.
She lied to her husband. She did.
There's a lot of secrets.
Oh my God. She freaking slept with the abuser husband.
That's right. He got around that guy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he they had a kid together.
Yeah.
Yeah. My God. Anyway.
But, and the beautiful, see that we have the flowers and then also the amazing wood sculptures.
Oh, right.
Because, and I'm segueing a little bit, no, but go. Like the, sorry, no, you finish.
No, no, no. It's okay. Go
no,
ahead.
No, you go.
I was just saying that the way that the librarian and June's mom are tied together, or not June's mom, Alice's mom tied together was really interesting. But then when you see that juxtaposition of what an open, honest family structure can look like compared to one that's like secretive, controlling, addictive, that was really upsetting.
Yeah, and it shows you how learned it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like for June, and this is the point I was going to make with the wood sculptures, I think movies, especially stories, because this was a written story, however they translated it, I mean, I'm sure the wood sculptures are in this book, hopefully. But the piece that I thought was really interesting, I know we're being really serious on this one. Usually we're like hamming it up on here. It's hard to ham up the lost flowers of Alice Hart.
There's not much hamming.
It's not a really funny story. But I thought that was what was really crazy about the show to me was usually when you have stories like this, or I've seen in movies and TV a lot, like if someone is like the abuser, the bad guy or whatever, they are so one-dimensional. And then the other people seem to have more of a story. But this guy, so Clem is the guy, and they show him in a very like all-encompassing light. Like he is an abuser. He is an alcoholic. He's also a beautiful sculptor.
Sensitive
person. So there, it was really interesting to me because everybody has so many different layers to them and sides to them. For a show to be able to show that was kind of cool. Like, I know that in real life people are like that, that it isn't, you know, and even for me, what's interesting is a lot of us come in, at least if you're in this recovery program, I feel like people can come in and feel very angry at the alcoholic addict or paint them as like they're the monster, they're the bad person, or they're the person that has, you know, that they're the fault, whatever. But then I think that it's helped me see the many different sides of a person because of looking at the disease of something and saying like, okay, that's not just who they are necessarily. Like you have to look at the whole picture. I don't know if that happened for you.
I think that's kind of why I stayed with my ex-husband for so long, because there were lots of facets to his personality I really liked.
Yeah.
You know, like he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I used to find him attractive. You know, like also an artist. Also doesn't know when to stop. Right. Also.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart, like really smart, but didn't finish school and just low self-esteem, but hidden with this big personality that got even bigger when he was drinking. Like, I think that was the interesting part about Clem. And then later with Alice's boyfriend that she meets when she's living in the bush or whatever it is that she's living at that national park.
Right.
Like there's all of these amazing qualities and that person is an alcoholic.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's abusive.
Right. And And that's really scary.
That's
and
really scary.
How do you share that with people? And oh, I think know. That's why you, I know, I mean, I know when I came into the rooms, I was really, I don't know if mad, I guess I was mad, but more like my reactions were necessary or were like appropriate because of the alcoholic's behavior instead of taking responsibility for my own behavior, right? That's the
hard
part.
Did you still now I'm like doing the whole therapy thing, but like, well, cause I'm thinking of the show too now, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of like, I think one of the most, and I might've said this to you when I watched, I don't know if this was the scene I brought up, but the scene that got me the most insane scene in this show to me, and I don't know which episode it was, but it's where he really beats the shit out of her. This is now Alice's boyfriend.
Oh, the boyfriend.
And oh, yeah. She is terrified and she goes to the other house and there's that whole, and what they do, which is so awesome in this, the way, and this is something TV and movies can do that you can't do. I mean, I guess a book can do it too, but the way they do it in the show is so smart. Cause I said, I think I might've, maybe I was talking to somebody else about it, but they show you how in your logical mind, when you see something like that happen, you're like, why doesn't she just go mm-hmm. to the police? Mm-hmm. Why is she like allowing this guy? And in that moment where she's kind of battling what to do, her mother appears. Mm-hmm. The version of her mother appears and is literally talking to her like, he doesn't mean it. You know, he's a nice guy. Like there's all this
just
shit.
Let him in. It's going to get worse if you don't.
That's right. And it's like, that is what domestic abuse is about. I'm like, that is awesome because people don't get it. And people might think, and I haven't even had an experience like that. But in that scene, I was like, that is why. Because there's so much fear and that's such the pattern now over and over again that it does continue.
And then when she goes to tell her supervisor,
right,
supervisor doesn't believe her.
That's right.
And he has spun the story to make her look crazy and because she's new. And that's the other reason. It's funny. My boyfriend and I watched the last couple episodes together and I'm like bawling and crying. And he's like, why are you watching this? It's so sad. Like, and I was like,
what's wrong with you?
I know.
Women are weird.
I know. I'm like, it is really sad, but it's also, I don't like to cry in real life. So this is therapeutic for me. So, but he was like, why doesn't she just go to the police? Why doesn't she just say something? And that whole scene unfolded. And I was like, that's why.
Yeah.
Because women aren't believed. And she looks like she got the shit beat out of her.
That's right.
And he has, I mean, he looks, I mean, she defends herself, right? So there's things that happen to him, but it's just, it's that part, like no one believes. And so then she ends up leaving, running away.
Right.
You know, and just...
And she has every reason to be in that situation. I mean, she literally shows up as a child and June takes her in and she can't even speak. I mean, this whole story set up with her being choked. And in the beginning, you don't even know what exactly happened to her. Like, I knew she, you know, you're kind of like, what happened? I know you see the scene where mm-hmm. he's kind of, and there's the fire and then you're seeing all this stuff happen. But she literally has to learn how to talk again and can't speak. Which is so symbolic to me about not having a voice, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I felt that way so much in my life. Like I, at least in that whole situation, like I really couldn't speak up for myself and I didn't have anybody choke me out or anything. I just couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't like, you know, and Al-Anon really helped me, or recovery really helped me learn how to finally speak up about things that I wasn't happy about. But I did, I was like a mute. I mean, it's funny now you guys hear me on here, but I would say things, but I would say things around the point. And then if I did say things sometimes, I felt like I couldn't say those things. There would be some kind of payback or something. Like there was always a fallout. So I just kind of think I learned to stop speaking up over time.
Yeah, because the reaction to that is so, in my experience, was so over the top. Either it was like gaslighting or it was like out yelling me or it was trying to make me feel bad. Like, I mean, there was times when I just would fight and try to say something and try to say something. And the other person is just overpowering me. My qualifier is just overpowering me emotionally, verbally. And mm-hmm. I would just, mm-hmm. I would, until I actually broke. And then he would be like,
then let me come save you.
Right. Okay.
That's the cycle.
Right. It is the cycle. Yeah,
that is the cycle.
It's terrible.
It's really, it is really deep. And like, I mean, God, what's weird is I feel like I've played this out with people as on the receiving end. Mm. Where I'm like, oh, I'm a mess now, like over things that don't make any sense, like from a trigger or from, and then it's like, oh my God, now this person feels like they have to take care of me because mm-hmm. I'm reacting to something that didn't even just happen now. Like, what is going on?
I also can,
it's so weird,
remember manipulating my qualifier about this whole situation, about how like, if I did this one thing, then he has to do this other thing because he then owes me.
Wow.
Yeah. And he didn't come through on his part. And I remember thinking, I'm never fucking doing that again. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Good for you.
Yeah. Then well, the next time. I mean, it took me a while before I could actually do it. But I but I had the thought. The thought is the first part. You know, like breaking the cycle, like recognizing the cycle and then seeing the cycle, right? And then seeing like where my part is in the cycle and then deciding not to take place in that cycle and then actually doing that part. You know,
that's so what are some like recovery themes of like like help that you've learned since doing that, like helping around those concepts like secrets or just trying to think how we can bring some through the storytelling.
I think Alice does a really nice job of like after the whole thing happens with her boyfriend who's abusing her, she goes to live with a librarian and her brother. Right. She didn't even know was alive, right?
Yeah, she does.
She has no idea that he was alive, and they introduce each other, and and she really takes that time for herself and to heal and to like rebuild her self-confidence. I feel like June did do a really nice job of building up her self-confidence and teaching
when she
her.
Was young, she really did, but I do think it's interesting how the cycles repeat because even June, who's trying so hard to rebuild people and help people recover, she's still stuck in like the control, the manipulation, the fear, like, and then maybe I think there is a shift for her at the end, you know, because she's being very dishonest with people all around her. I felt like that was the hardest thing to watch, is to see her
when people uncovered her dishonesty, right? Like
she broke her,
right?
And she almost was like, I had to, you know, like I don't even think she knew how bad the effects of that would be. And also the interesting lesson that like you can't control, you can't keep people from learning their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, she goes and stays with the librarian. Sorry. What is your name? that character. And that person is a little more honest. That person is a little more able to face the truth of things, even though they're difficult. Cause she does face it with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She finally that happens early on where she fesses up about all of that.
Yes. Because,
and it sets you free. Like it's that kind of thing. Like no matter how bad it is, stuff that's big like that, you kind of have to, I mean, how do you hold that? I think that makes people have cancer. Sorry. I think she's holding so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, if you have to hold that kind of a secret of someone's entire life, it's not even your life. You're holding it for them. It's like, I'm not even allowing you to know what your life actually was.
I just don't understand
like what
her motivation. That? Like, what was the motivation of not telling Alice about her brother? Right? Like, so the mom, they have the fire, right? They have the fire, and the father dies burned to death. Mm-hmm. The mom dies of smoke inhalation, and she's, 8 months pregnant.
It's terrible.
And they don't, and we think that the baby dies.
Yes.
The brother dies.
Yes.
And then Alice carries along this guilt for her whole life until her 20s about that she killed her dad and also her mom and her baby brother.
Yeah, that's heavy.
Right.
And but probably thinks it's her fault.
Yeah, she does. She spends that whole time thinking it's her fault.
It's always her fault.
Right.
Yeah.
And then June knows the truth because we find out later that there was like a police report and it explains the whole thing. And June knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets updates on the brother, pays for his medical care.
He has been writing letters for years to her.
Yes, to Alice.
Yes.
Until June writes back, I don't care. I don't want to hear any more about you.
Yeah, and that poor kid, because now he's been rejected.
Right.
But he thinks he's being rejected by his sister.
Right.
Which is insane.
I don't understand the motivation of why you wouldn't take the brother also, unless maybe June thought that she would raise the brother to be like Clem. And she didn't want that to happen again.
I think she thought it was like a biological thread.
Mm.
And that he was going to be just like Clem. Mm. And then that's how you break the cycle, you know, keep her. Because she was already, I mean, listen, this beautiful situation she has is a great safety house. And it's a great way for people to get away. But they're also living, it's like a hideout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they can't, that was the other theme is like, nobody knows you're here.
Another secret.
So these women have vanished from their situations. They are in a place of like, nobody can find me here. I've basically disappeared until I'm ready to re-enter the world again. So that is a big secret. It's like, let me keep people hidden, but then they can blossom and move on, right? So it's a period of time, maybe.
It's kind of like the safe house in Maid. Did you ever watch that show Maid on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
God, that was a good show,
That was intense, too. Yeah. God,
That's another one.
That's another show.
We'll put that to the side for another time. Yeah. But they had that safe house there, too, where you couldn't even use the cell phone on the property because they could like ping your location.
So they're trying to keep you from getting hurt again.
Well, yeah. And then Candy Blue starts sleeping with the one guy who was like abusing one of the wildflowers that was there. That's a whole nother side story. She's just looking for attention. Someone pay attention to me.
Exactly.
You know, like the way that she dresses, her makeup, her hair color, everything was just about pay attention to me.
That's right.
Because she felt rejected.
And she never left. I have the feeling that some of these people just cycle through. Because at the end, right, all of the flowers come back.
Oh, I know. God, I was.
And then you see how many people.
She actually helped.
Yeah. And maybe there's there's stuff missing that maybe the book would reveal. Mm. But like, there must be a reason why June is saying like, you can't tell anybody. And that's probably because maybe the police and at the time or whenever the story is set, like, you know, at the time she starts it, like they don't help women. Because, you know, that maybe that's the reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't go to the police. You're this person's property. And, like, they're not going to do anything for you. But we're going to take care of you. Maybe that's what that's about. That's what I was kind of guessing.
Mm.
And then maybe over time it evolves. But you can see how long, it's like how long ago it starts. And then, you know, then Alice becomes, like, an adult. And she wants to leave.
Right, because I think June was taking in people even when Clem was younger.
Yes. Yeah, right? She was. Yeah. I think ever since she had her own abuse,
she started taking people in.
Yeah, like she found the safe haven and then it sounds like maybe then there was Twig and then it started maybe slowly and then it just kind of became a thing where she was like, I'm going to just try to help other people.
How about the crazy way that she gets the guy arrested?
Wait, which guy?
When she goes into town. Okay, so Candy Blue sleeps.
Take me back.
Candy Blue is like sleeping with. Okay, so there's a wildflower that's there. She comes like to hide out at the farm.
Right.
And then the guy who abused her gets released from prison or something like that and starts sniffing around. And they see a truck that comes by and they're like kind of freaking out.
Okay.
And June's like, don't worry about it. It's fine. He's never going to find us. Then Candy Blue goes into town and she ends up hooking up with this guy.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yes.
And yeah, then June goes out there, and the way that she gets him arrested is by provoking him until he beats the shit out of her.
That's right. She is a bad motherfucker.
She also crazy.
She's crazy. I mean, and she isn't. Like, even in the beginning, you see her, like, walking around with her shotgun at night.
Yeah, walking she's the like, perimeter.
Yeah, she's always going to be... You're always going to be, what's her name? Ripley from Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Just badass walking around waiting to kill some aliens. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what I always think of.
Yeah, it's true.
Or you go back to, what's her name in Diane Fossey, same thing.
Girls in the Mist. It all comes back to that.
She's in her tiny house with her shotgun. Nobody's going to fuck with me up here.
Or my chimps.
Where
she's always playing like this protective. She's always playing this protective role. It's just the way that she chooses to protect people.
We love you. You're so good.
Yeah, she is so good.
That's a heavy load, though, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's why she did get cancer.
I mean, I know some people might not like me saying that, but I do think that we hold in our lives, people hold, if you hold trauma, stress, whatever your life experience is, that some people, you know, you hold it and you deal with that, it can really take a toll internally, and then people do get sick.
I think about
it can take it. It can do that.
Even like in my own cycles of addict, like relationships and that cycles of emotional and verbal abuse. Like, yeah, I felt like shit afterwards. Mm-hmm. I would have those big fights, and then I would feel like a hangover, just be like so emotionally drained. I would get like crazy migraines, so stressed out. Living on this high of like, finally we're making up and everything is good, but then God only knows when it's going to go south again. And is it going to be me that does it this time? Or is it going to be like, it's always me, right? Is it my reaction? Is it me pointing something out? Is it me asking a question that I shouldn't have asked? Is it me not knowing the rule that's changed? Oh, right? Like, it's all of those things. Is it me choosing my kid over my qualifier? Like, it's all of those things that just come out. And I don't know, I felt like shit.
Oh yeah, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's weird because for me personally, and it happened a couple times in my life, but I've had bad stomach issues, and I had a couple times I had like what they thought was an ulcer that wasn't. And I've had a couple procedures to like, my stomach will like, it's called, oh my God, what is it called? I just forgot. It's only happened to this extreme like 3 times, but it happened when I was like young and I was 18, I was going through like a really stressful time with my parents. Like I felt like I had no control over my life. I felt like I was just like trapped. And then my ex-husband, and then it happened again at the worst time of my last marriage, like when things were really at the bottom before there was like any thought of sobriety. But that ended up me in the hospital again. I ended up like so sick. And it was crazy. I lost all this weight.
Yeah, it's hard. That's what, when I got divorced, I joke it was great because it happened during the summertime, but I was like freaking anorexic. I could only eat Life cereal. My hair was falling out. I mean, I was thrilled that I could wear a bikini. Like, that was fantastic. But like, it was to the point where my son was like, Mom, are you going to eat dinner with us today? And I was like, yep, I sure am.
You're like, I'm going to pretend.
Yep, I sure am.
That's crazy though, isn't it? Like,
it's terrible.
It's like your whole body is telling you like,
this is wrong.
Yeah. Like, you got to do something different here. Mm-hmm. This is not okay. Can't live like this.
Yeah.
So did you like feel that you kept secrets and then somehow you've learned to not do that? Or like, how does the theme of just secrets or isolation changed for you?
I think, well, having Al-Anon really helps a lot, because people who don't have that same experience, I have some really close friends that I've been friends with for, you know, 20, 30 years. It's actually really crazy to think about. But, and when I would tell them things that happened with my qualifier, they were sympathetic, right? And they also were very like task oriented, like, you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to, and I remember thinking like, that is true. I do need to do those things, but I'm not doing them. Right. And then coming to Al-Anon and having a sponsor, it was very much like, you actually don't have to do anything right now. And you can just take the time to recognize what's happening, and you're actually not crazy for recognizing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for me, what's interesting about kind of like how people heal in these shows, and I was thinking about this with another show, is it doesn't necessarily mean you have to like tell your secrets, like, but like there's something about sharing. Just that aspect alone of like being able to walk into a space and say anything that you couldn't say to people, like that is enough almost, just to be able to put it out there and say what you need to say is so like, there's so much to learn from it. Cause I think for me, like I have to hear it out loud. Like sometimes I'll say something in like a meeting or a share, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, no, that doesn't even make any sense what I said. Like, or like, I have to like really, but the space that it allows for that is huge. And then to be in a room of people that are literally like, yes, I understand. I'm in the same space as you, where you don't feel like you said, like you couldn't share mm-hmm. with certain people, but you can share in that room, in that situation. And then you have support and you have people that are not trying to give you answers necessarily. Although sometimes we do. You're not supposed
to. You also
to.
Like, and yeah, you have that space to actually speak
yes.
without someone yes. cutting you off or telling you that you're wrong or ramming it down your throat or gaslighting you. I was thinking about the show actually while you were talking about that. And I just had this experience with my daughter actually. In the show, Alice, when she leaves the farm and she's out traveling, and before she goes to the national park to work, mm-hmm. she meets this really nice guy. Remember that vet? She meets the vet.
Yes.
And he's yes. so nice.
Yeah.
And he's so normal. And he's so cute. And he really cares about her. And she ends up not liking him.
Yeah, she doesn't like him.
Because he's not exciting enough. My daughter is in New Zealand right now. She comes home on Tuesday. I can't wait. But anyway.
Wow, she's kind of like, well, that's not Australia, but.
Yeah, but she's close.
But is it?
It's close. It's like right across
it's like
the.
Right there.
Whatever that body of water is. Yeah, but yeah. yeah.
That's cool.
And she has been dating this guy that's from New Zealand. And he's really nice, smart, kind, sweet. But she has this like little pull for this other guy who is just a little dangerous. Now, this is what she's told me. So I'm imagining that he's probably very dangerous. But this is what she's comfortable to tell me, right? That he's just not quite safe. And she realized that he was only coming around when she was feeling like safe and secure in her relationship or with the person that she's been dating. And I was like, honey, this is the universe. Like, this is your test. The universe is testing you. Like, is this, you have to choose. Mm. And she was like, oh my God. So she told him, she was like, the universe is testing me. I'm not into it. And the guy was like, what are you talking about? She's like, don't worry about it, but it's not it. You're not it. It's not yeah. happening. But that whole thing that Alice goes through too, like, who do you choose? And I think about my own choices, like I always choose the person that was just a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah, I have, yes. And not only crazy, but just sometimes just stuff that I was like, why, what, did you not pay attention to what was going on here?
Yeah, I think this was before the terminology of red flags. It just was like.
Yeah, but I definitely am like, I like to fix. And it is funny because I think I was very, I mean, it's funny. I do this whole show based on TV and movies because I was so in, like, not only was I so drawn to these things, these shows and movies when I was young, but I was also like pulling lessons from stupid shows like that mm-hmm. are not there to teach you anything, but I would like take it in and be like, oh yeah, that's what you're good for. Like I'll never, there's some really weird movies that are popping into my head. There was, and there's always these themes of movies where it was like, it was either like the guy meets like a nerdy girl.
Oh yeah. Always take her glasses off. And then she's like, yeah, hot mama.
Or there was a flip of that. There's this yeah. really, and it's funny now because it's such a gay movie in a sense, but there's this movie called Just One of the Guys. Have you ever heard of this movie?
I don't know that
it
movie.
It is so bizarre, but it was like one of the movies that really stuck out to me because so this girl is like a cheerleader, like total like that kind of a girl, but she also wants to be like a journalist. Okay. And she wants to go to a different school to like do the story or something. She has this idea for a story and they're like, they won't let her school paper is like, you're not doing that. Like we're not letting you do that. Like, sorry, that's not, you're just like a cheerleader. I mean, it's a dumb setup that right. she's not allowed to. So her friend is like, you could totally look like a boy. Like, so she dresses like a guy and she goes to the other school and she is now trying to do this whole other thing there. But then she meets this nerdy guy and he becomes her project of like, as a boy, she's like, I'm going to help this guy be cool. Like he definitely doesn't think he can like impress ladies and get girls. Like I know what impresses girls. I'm a girl. So I'm going to like show him how to be the guy's guy. And yeah. it's such a stupid, but like for me, I used to take that mentality of like, I'm going to find that guy or that person that like doesn't see their amazingness and I'm going to make them feel amazing about themselves and they're going to just like blossom or something.
Oh, wow.
How twisted is that? But like,
that's a lot of power you gave yourself.
I really thought that I could like, in reflection, I'm saying this now, but like, I didn't have words for any of that.
Mm.
But I think I definitely was looking for like the odd people where I was like, okay, that person, no one likes them, but I see what they've got, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what was that about? And that's just that's trying to like, or like seeing people that had problems and knowing that I could like help them become better people or something like that. Like,
I always felt people were trying to like just break me down. Could see like I had my shit together and they're like, oh,
you're Susan. This is never going to die now. Sorry. We're going to have to play.
That reel was so funny. But like, I just felt like people were just like, ding, 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 ding. Like, just, I'm like, okay. I don't know. It's just weird.
They're like, I'm going to break this one.
Right.
I'll get her.
Right.
And nobody wanted to do that with me. I was basically a Jenny. Not to that extreme. I mean, Tiffany isn't too far off. We're referring to Jenny Slate. If you guys have not seen her stand up, she's hilarious. Yeah, I'm funny that I'm even admitting this right now. Hope anyone listening, like, don't worry. I wasn't very good at this. The thing that I thought I was doing from watching bad movies about turning the ugly duckling into like a prince or something. But I think for me, there was always a component of like, I can help. I can fix that. Or I can like, that's my role. Like, I'm the helper. I'm the one that's going to like, I don't know what, which is, you're right. There is a lot of power in that. What's that about?
Yeah. But I think that's what happens with like in the show, right? Like,
yeah,
I think that was Alice's mom thinking that she could change or help Clem, and the librarian thinking that she could change or help.
Yeah, she wanted to help too.
Yeah, in her own way, right? And then Alice, the boy from Romania, like they're all trying to fix somebody else instead of just focusing on themselves.
Yeah, and it's like you're fixing someone to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's all like happening without knowing, you know, it's not like you're so aware of it.
Yeah, it's that hole in your soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that people come to the awareness. Like, I think what I like about the story is it is, the layers are being revealed, just like people might feel in relationships with things around. I mean, listen, it is a theme in alcoholism and addiction. There are secrets. I mean, that's all you hear about is like, oh my God, we never talked about Uncle So-and-so, or people don't talk about it. People try to keep it under wraps. I mean, I personally did that for years. I mean, I didn't want people to know what I was feeling or thinking or what was going on at home. I wasn't telling anybody what was going on with that. And like, I felt like nobody would believe me anyway.
I felt really
stupid. So what was
the point?
Yeah, stupid.
Like, I didn't want to.
The shame.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell anybody that that's what was going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is so crazy because it's not anything to be ashamed about, really. You know? Like, how are you supposed to be, like, when you logistically think about it, like, it's.
I think it was more about, like, the shame, like, the inability to stand up for myself.
Yes, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it was for me. I was definitely feeling that. Like, I am so pathetic. Like, how come I am still allowing this to happen to me? Like, what is wrong with me?
And having such a different, like a different person. Like, I was somebody at home. I was somebody with my kids. And then I was somebody else at work. And somebody else with my friends.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it just, I don't know. I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm. It's a survival tactic,
in
these
situations, yeah.
It's a survival tactic.
Yeah. But I think what's interesting is like also like once you build up your worth and you're like, and I know there's different layers of that because there's, I mean, for me, I definitely felt like there was a massive attack on my, like I whatever I felt coming into this confidence, that whatever I thought I had about my self-confidence just diminished. I mean, I just became very, it was like, I was definitely going into a place of like, well, I guess this is just what you deserve. Like the deserving piece went away. And it was like coming into recovery, like meetings and people in rooms and hearing like, you know, you deserve whatever you want. Like you're worthy of anything. This isn't about, but it is, you kind of take yourself. It's like, I was taking myself down a notch and down a notch and down a notch. And then you take this, is where you end up. And even for Alice, like she had hopes of like, I'm going to do this. And then it lowered and lowered. And then she was putting up with more and more.
Yeah, it right? just kind of chips away at
it
you.
It chips away to the point where it's like, all right, I guess I allow this now. But you don't start off there, which is interesting. I didn't start off right there.
You know what's funny about that? That whole idea of chipping away is like in the show when Alice is, you know, working at the national park and she starts connecting with the abusive boyfriend. Just like the little things that he does. Like he makes fun of the necklace that she wears that's of her mom.
Yeah.
And then he replaces some piece of jewelry with like the leather wrapped yes. bracelets.
I was like, it's over.
And yeah, me too.
That scene,
and
I'm like, oh my God, done.
Here we go. And here I watched go. That scene with my boyfriend and he was mm-hmm. like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, he's an abuser.
Yeah, it's
and then
obvious.
He slowly pulls her away, makes fun of her when she has that dress on. They don't go out anymore. He makes her feel like shit. Mm-hmm. Like all of these little things that I thought was that development of that relationship was really triggering for me. Also, like I've never been physically abused, but that slowly losing yourself to make the other person happy because you think it's going to make things okay. Like she's in that firestorm and she has like a panic attack because she's flashing back to her parents and the guy, some random firefighter dude, gives her a hug and her boyfriend sees that and it mm-hmm. launches that whole attack. He like disappears. Like I remember that, God, Jesus, from both of my qualifiers, like just disappearing, refusing to answer the phone.
My God.
Won't call you. This is a funny story. When I was married, my ex-husband was the master, like not answering. And one time he texted me, my phone is DE because his phone died in the middle of him writing dead. And I remember
that is kind of funny.
Right. And I, at the time I remember thinking, that's not how that works. But he beat me down so much that I was like, well, I guess that's how it works. Like I just, now looking back, I'm like, what a fucking idiot you are. Yeah. But you know, it's just.
Well, I think as you, and you know, your intuition kicks in and you start going like, this isn't, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting the truth here or whatever, but you don't want it to be true. Like, I think that's the layer of when they call, there was just recently we talked about denial and like, that's a big piece, which is I can't allow this to be actually happening because if it is, then what,
mm-hmm.
then what, then what do I do with that?
Right. If I believe that this is true or my reality.
Yeah. And for Alice, like, it's so sad to watch because you watch her struggle her whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a crazy story. And then she is trying so hard to build her own life. She's really, you know, you think like she's done it. She's made it through. And now she's going to, and she's escaping June too, by the way.
Correct.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's like now June is like kind of like her abuser where it's like,
right.
She's got to lie. And that's how he gets her too, this guy, mm-hmm. because he, you know, she gets abused, hit or whatever. She fights back like a fucking badass though.
Yes,
I have to
she
tell
does.
You. I
yes,
was like,
she does.
Holy shit. Like I thought she killed him in that one scene.
No, she really does.
And, but he also now it's being like, it's all starting to come together, which is like, you're not who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at all these pieces because she's had to lie and keep so many secrets to get out of, I don't know, just to get away and start having her own life, like to like be free.
Well, she didn't want June to find her.
Right.
Yeah, like Twig and June, Twig spends all this time trying to find her.
Right.
And she doesn't want to be found because she feels betrayed by June.
She does. She's pissed.
She has every right to be.
I mean, so yes, absolutely. But then that doesn't help either because now she's.
But she comes back to June. She calls her and asks her to come
save
her.
Okay, let's talk about, I feel like all we're doing is talking about the negatives. Let's find the positives in this sad ass story. Abuse. And
I know no one's going to watch the show now if you haven't seen it.
Well, no, I will say like it is beautiful. And even though there is that sad scene with the flowers, there's a lot of really beautiful scenes with people communicating with flowers. And what's really great about the beginning is that June is helping Alice learn how to speak with the flowers mm-hmm. because she can't speak. And then there's probably an element of she won't speak for a while, even when she gets her ability to speak back.
Yeah, I think she's selectively mute.
Yeah, and so she's learning, like, and June is really good, and, like, even though that's done in a way of, like, I don't know, montages or whatever they mm-hmm. do, but that gentle way of, like, I'm not going to force this out of you, like, let me show you, like, here's a way to communicate, and allows her to, like, actually blossom that way, where she learns how to speak up. And she learns how to have a voice again. And mm-hmm. That is so cool. And there are some really great scenes, like how they honor people with like plants and trees. And and I do love that regardless of how June behaves, you know, she does take ownership. Doesn't she do that at some point?
She's also multidimensional, right? Just like Clem, yeah, just like the abusive father. Like, she's not just a controlling, terrible person.
Right.
You know, like she sacrifices her life for her son, to be honest.
She does. Yeah.
And then she continues to sacrifice for all the people that come who need safe haven. She sacrifices for Alice's brother to survive. She places him with a family that loves him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of things that she does for other people. She just always has this like underlying motive.
Yeah. But I think she does learn by the end that like, if she can, I don't know, kind of just finally get real about everything, like how much more there is to gain and like how much more connection she gains with the people she cares about when she fesses up to the truth about those things. Like, I think, like, I, you know, like if June had let, I like, I don't remember when Alice, does Alice ever find out about her past and like what happened to her?
With June?
Yeah.
I
feel like there's parts where other people are finally understanding her story.
Candy Blue learns it because the Baron is actually that Sandy girl.
Yeah, yeah. So like, how much greater would have that relationship been if she was able to tell them that sooner? You know, like, there's a reason I'm like this. This is why I'm like this. Mm. This happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like, let me tell you what happened to me, because I'm not just like this for no reason. Like, I think some people saw her as so rigid. Like, she was like, boom, boom,
I don't think she could. I don't think she could afford to be that vulnerable.
Is that like, what it was?
I don't know. I think everyone, she was the strength of that.
So she was holding that place. Like, I have to be the strong one, you know?
Yeah, she couldn't be vulnerable with what, because she only tells that story, I think, after she gets sick.
I know, she like holds that for,
and actually like letters or something like that, I can't remember exactly how the story comes out, I feel like it was letters or something that Candy Blue finds.
I wish I can remember now,
because June has that whole like quasi homosexual relationship with the wife of a
another person.
And then
she tries to contact her or something.
Yeah, so she and this woman would meet on the banks of the river.
God, there's so many sad and stories
June
in this.
Saves her by letting the men rape June instead of raping her friend. My God. And that's how she gets pregnant with Clem.
It's crazy.
So she, again, sacrificing herself.
Wow.
Also controlling the situation. Just saying.
Hey, there it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think some good things in the movie, like I said, are the themes of like letting, when the secrets come to light, there's room for growth. Like once Alice finds out she has a brother, then there's an ability for her to like have that relationship and it heals, you know? And then also like the fact that she gets out of isolation, when anybody get, you know, and that whole thing with the Safe Haven farm and all of the flower, like, that is exactly what that is. That's like, you're going to be here now with all these other people to support you and help you rebuild. So like, to me, that's such a theme of recovery. It's like, how do we do this? We don't do it one-on-one. I mean, we do it in a group. Like there's so much to me that the group does for people. Just the fact that you're in a room full of people and there's so much support there. That's like a huge piece. And,
that's true. That's really a good point that house, the farm acts like that recovery space for people because they all have a shared experience.
Yes. Yes.
So even though their experiences aren't all the same, they have some sort of through line that shares that. Right. Like, so like when I walk into an Al-Anon room, maybe family of origin doesn't have alcoholism in it, but those behaviors that I experienced in my own alcoholic relationships comes through that other people describe. It makes me think more about my kids. Like when people share about their family of origin and the alcoholism in there and how that affected them as a kid, it makes me really sad for my own children who've had those types of experiences. But coming back to the story, that idea that being in that group together, we can heal.
Yeah, and there's hope. Like, you can get better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, regardless. And mm-hmm. I think that's the start, is like you walk in, you're brave enough to like walk into a space and I don't know, just show up. Like, you show up in front of other people and it starts. I mean, I really think that's half the piece. You know, I used to have, when I first came and like I met, you know, I got a sponsor pretty quick, but I wouldn't want to sometimes go and she'd be like, just put your butt in the chair. Just mm-hmm. stop thinking about it. Go put your butt in the chair. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's all I had to do. I didn't have to do anything else. I'd be like, oh my God, that's actually working. Like, I just go and sit in the chair. Like, and then it's like, okay, now I share. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't share right away. Then it's like, okay, now I'm going to share. And then like each piece of that was helping me little by little, you know? And I think what I like about some of this recovery stuff, like when I see it showing up in shows or movies and things, is like watching how they kind of weave, I think they are weaving that in a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because it's not just about recovery from people, you know, whether it's somebody that's alcoholic addict, but like domestic abuse. I mean, that can just happen. I mean, I'm sure everything's connected on some level, but like there's so many different kinds of recovery that people need to go through in their lives. You know, it doesn't have to be just one thing. And I think they're always the same themes. Like, I know I'm not doing well when I'm isolating too much.
Mm-hmm.
I just know it. And the biggest piece, which has been a big theme for me recently, is like, change isn't comfortable.
Mm.
You know, like your story about your daughter,
mm-hmm.
like, and someone like Alice, like it is so much, and not like it was easy in that moment, because it's terrible what's happening to her. Sorry. It's fine. With that whole abusive situation, but it is more comfortable for her to stay
mm-hmm.
than to go to the police. That seems safer in some weird, twisted way. It's like, I can't even do the different thing. Like, the different thing is so challenging because it feels, even though it's a better choice sometimes, it feels foreign. I think for some of us, healthy transit, like new waves of behaving, are actually like the most uncomfortable thing to do. Cause I joke, I have, you know, I can isolate, like I'm, you know, TV movies, like, yeah, it's a cozy blanket. I love to just like get inside, close the doors and yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, that feels great to me. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes doing all of this, like socializing, like I'll do it, but I don't know. It's weird. I can get really, I don't know. That's a safe space for me.
Mm.
Or whatever it is for you, you know, that the attraction to the crazy people, you know, that probably feels normal. Like when yeah. you watch a show, like we were just kind of talking about The Bear, which we'll probably do. I'll do another episode on. But in a lot of movies where you see dysfunction, stories where people grew up in a lot of dysfunction, even though it's chaotic, it is comfortable.
You know what to expect.
It's all you know. You don't know a normal, healthy family situation. Right. So, of course, you're going to gravitate towards what feels chaotic or feels unpredictable or feels like a little bit like, ooh, that's scary. And you don't even know why. That's the crazy part. Like, you're like, I don't even know why. That feels good to me. Like, that feels normal.
I think it's that whole idea that they love me so much, that's why they're acting that way. And if you really loved me,
wow.
That's how you behave. I'm thinking about in the show too, like once Alice is healed and she's somewhat healthy and she's at the librarian's house, the boyfriend texts her and is like, hey, I miss you. Can we try again? And she's like, I miss you too. And he's like, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And
yep.
And that whole feeling of like, did that even happen? Like, he didn't mean it. Is it real? Like, he obviously loves me. That's why he's so passionate.
Well, I'm sure that's what she saw with her parents. Because Clem probably could be explosive, but then he could be like, I only do this because I care about you so much. Or maybe even like, I think, I don't remember exactly, but the scenes about like why she shouldn't go out, you know, like, you're so special. Like, I can't,
right.
You know, like, so there's this, you're right. There is this thing around like, I'm so crazy about you.
Right.
That I have to keep you like, huh, you know? And then when I'm so mad, I'm so mad. But like, it's because I love you so much.
Right. If you just didn't act like this, I wouldn't have to act like this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your fault.
Mm-hmm. And I like, love you so much.
Yes.
That this is the only way that I can express it. And then what do you, I mean, like on the receiving end of that, like.
And that is some deep shit if you're a child. Like if you're growing up like that, you're like, okay, I guess.
It all comes back to that whole idea about love being earned instead of given. And you have to act a certain way in order to receive. Yeah, it's just.
And it's really hard to undo that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's why people need to do work. You know, you have to do, if you really want to shift some of it, depending on how deep it goes for you, like how do you undo that? Well,
you have to be willing to see it.
Yeah, like therapy, something.
You have to be willing. Like for me, I had to admit that I liked receiving like these gifts, right? Like I liked being taken care of. And this was just the trade-off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets to the point where it's not worth the cost. Nothing's ever free.
No.
It's not worth the cost. No. Took me a while. But yeah, I mean.
It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's hard.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because it's also comfortable to fall back into that routine.
Which is what you call relapse, which is what I call a relapse.
Yeah, it's definitely a relapse.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I call it too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it again. You know, like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big piece, like you're bringing up. It's like, and you see that. And I think the same thing, like maybe June had to finally, you know, she's to take accountability, you know, like I did do that. I lied about your brother and I kept, that was my part. Like, what did I do here to create? And there is that scene where she tries to do it like by the beach or something. Oh, yeah,
that is a great scene.
What happens? She like walks, she goes, they find her.
Yes.
And they, what does she this do?
Is before they take her to the librarian's house, right? They, June calls, come get me. This is after she gets abused. They show up with Twig. They're walking along the beach and June is like, and she tries to say it so gently, but she's like, basically, oh, by the way, you have a brother. Your brother's still alive. And Alice is like, fuck you. She just walks away.
And she's like, that makes sense.
Right?
Like, I don't know what she says, but basically she's like, I was kind of expecting that.
I deserve that. Yeah, that was like, that was a really, I thought this show did a really nice job of being like real.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, like what you were saying before about like Clem's, all of the characteristics of Clem and all the characteristics of June, but even of Alice and like how people react to each other and communicate with each other. Like, you know, in another show, maybe June would have said, oh, by the way, your brother's still alive, and Alice would have fallen into her arms and they would have been like, you know, but that's not real.
That isn't real. And life has fallout and things don't always get resolved.
Yeah.
Not in a beautiful movie, like, you know, the usual way you see it. It does. And even in the movie, there is an ending that, at least with the show, I mean, there's a, it feels like it's tying it up, but like, it still was real to me. Like there's still sadness.
I don't think June and Alice ever reconcile before she dies.
I don't, she doesn't. So she dies and that never happens, which is very real.
Yeah.
Where people have, you know, whether it's with whoever, they don't get to have that moment or that kind of closure and they just pass away or they're gone and that's it.
I think that's the other thing for me. Like in, when I was living in that alcoholic situation is like, I always wanted it to be okay. And like I always needed to have some sort of closure or some sort of like reconciliation. Like I didn't,
that's such a big one for me.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the fight was never over until there was like makeup sex or like there the situ, and even then it wasn't over. It just wasn't, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, it wasn't like it was like closure, it just was over. Right. Like we didn't really talk about why we acted the way that we did or what the feelings were underneath of that. It just was like, now it's done.
It just settled down.
Right.
It didn't actually resolve anything.
No, it's just done.
Yeah.
But I think that's something else I learned in Al-Anon is that like you don't, sometimes there's not a resolution.
Yeah. That is just what I was just going to say. And that's like one I'm always looking to find, like, how do you fix it? Like even not fix it, but like, okay, how do we solve this?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just have to sit with it.
Yeah.
Until there's something that shifts, like either you shift or, but you can't always like have a solution in the moment, like for certain things.
It's not like the person's going to come to you and say, you know what, Tiffany, you were so right. And I was so wrong. And
that'd be my mother's dream.
I definitely think that what you said, I have reflected, and you are completely right. And I'm just going to do that from now on. That's never, ever going to happen.
What's funny is I really have trouble receiving any kind of accountability. Like, even when people have genuinely been like, no, I'm really sorry. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Mm.
It really makes me uncomfortable. I like almost am like, don't do that. It's fine. Like it's so hard for me to receive it. It's like, yeah. I don't believe people at
That's
all.
That's a whole nother situation, right?
Like, fourth step right there.
It is.
Get out all the stupid pathways to whatever, reaching for personal bullshit. Sorry. No, it's true.
What do you have the capacity for to receive? Like, can you receive a compliment? Can you receive like a dinner from a friend? Can you receive a gift? Can you receive an apology? Like,
can you stop apologizing?
Correct.
That's me.
Can you receive being okay with being wrong? Like, it's all of those, like, what is your capacity to actually receive? It's kind of crazy.
That's like a whole other.
Well, when you think about June, like, her capacity was just non-existent.
Non-existent.
She couldn't receive.
No, that's so true.
But the mom, Alice's mom, could receive. I mean, she received a lot.
It's a pretty interesting parallel, those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a great show.
It is so good. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
But, you know, just know it's triggering. Can be.
It is. And they give you warnings.
Yeah.
They're like, this is going to have scenes of this and this. They tell you before it airs, I think.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes they even warn you about the smoking, which, by the way, cracks me up.
Does it really?
Yeah.
There's like, going to be smoking.
Makes me laugh. So I'm like, that's what we're worried about now?
I'm like, everyone's vaping. Is there vaping in there? No. What's that? Can we talk about all the other stuff? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. It's just so funny that smoking makes it up there with like profanity and nudity. I'm like, is it really? Okay.
I think what's interesting to me too is that sometimes the scenes that are, I mean, I know logistically, and this is like same thing with horror. Like, it's funny because people say this to me about horror. They're like, do you like all those Saw movies or those? And I'm like, no, those are dumb. Like, they don't even scare me. They're like, you mean all those like killing slasher, like horrible movies scare you? And I'm like, no, what scares me is like manipulation and twisted. Mm. Like, yes, it is horrible when she's like being choked or things. But like, what is the most unsettling is those little scenes with him, like where he's like doing that little manipulation stuff, mm-hmm. like, or people arguing or like that. Actually really upsets me. Like, those are the scenes that I'm like, I can't, this is making me so anxious to watch people have to sacrifice their mind. Like, you know, because when someone's being attacked, you're just in a physical fight. But when someone is able to get in there, when you're having an interaction and you're watching somebody just weave a web, even though unintentionally, this is not even saying they know they're doing it, but like, and seeing how someone else is just twisting themselves into a knot internally in moments like that makes me, those are much harder scenes for me to watch than sometimes somebody getting smacked or hit or
yeah,
because that is so deep, you know, that's like
it leads to that, right? Like that mental manipulation typically goes along with that physical,
yeah, I mean
physicality of it,
or it's other stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. Okay, so let's find a redeeming. We probably should. It's getting long. We spoke a long time. But
sure did.
I don't know. I think there's a lot to gain from watching this. I love that it's a really real representation of some things in life that maybe you don't see too many times like that on TV or movies. And it's something that is really real in the world. I think the reason, is there a reason that you wanted to do this with me in terms of a recovery theme or... I mean, hopefully this is reaching people in a way, or anybody who wants to, I don't know. Sorry.
I think if you, like, if I wasn't in recovery and I just were to watch this show, I would be like, well, June's a bitch. Alice is dumb.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Clem's obviously an asshole. Why are you with him?
Yeah.
This abusive boyfriend, like, go to the fucking police anyway. Like, who cares? Right. It's just, I think that's probably how people who are not an Al-Anon felt when I would talk to them about like issues I was having, right? Like, it's so logical. Like, if you just look at it from the superficial, like this, like, then your next steps are to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But when you look at it from the lens of like recovery and like the mental deterioration that those characters go through, that I went through, you can't, I couldn't even take that logical next step.
Right.
And I think that's part of it too. Like June, I don't think she even knows like how to move forward. I think Twig was supposed to be like her opposite character, right? Or like the librarian was. But like for June, she can't even take that next step because she's so enmeshed in her own way of doing things. She can't see mm-hmm. another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll just add this so we can wrap it up. But like, you know, it is a, they say family disease, you hear that word. It is a disease of relationships. Mm. I think all of that stuff playing out is so real to me. And the more that I've learned about all of these things, like it really does, it shows me how much it boils down to the relationships, mm-hmm. from child to parent or from partner, you know, romantic, whatever they are, it's an ongoing cycle. And then I think the reason I'm so passionate about recovery is that it's not just about stopping, like you said, it's not just about stopping the exterior.
Mm.
You can stop all that stuff, whether it's you or the other person or whatever it is. It's a whole other thing to shift internally and then make those changes moving forward. And like how you relate to other people, how do you pick the people in your life? How you, mm-hmm. I mean, these are huge things that don't happen on the surface, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I left my ex-husband and then got into another relationship with another alcoholic.
Right.
Right.
So, yes.
Like
yeah.
I felt so different when I left my ex-husband. I was like, oh yes, I'm not the crazy one. He is the crazy one, but I am the crazy one because I picked another person.
Yeah. And the cycles repeat. It's mm-hmm. so, it's so ingrained in people that you just, and that's why I think I wanted to talk about the show and mm-hmm. I'm glad you wanted to talk about it. So we'll just keep getting deep and then hopefully we can throw some comedy in here.
Yeah.
I did throw a little bit of comedy with, I did do Renfield.
Oh, did you?
I did.
That's the show. I needed to watch that. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Watch it. And I had Julie on, my friend Julie on, because she watched it with me. And I did it like just for Halloween because I wanted to get a Halloween episode on. So that is a hilarious take on all these serious subjects. Not a serious one. But anyway, thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me. This was so great.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
So
professional setup. All looks so good.
I know, right? My kitchen table. I'm rocking it. And, yeah, and share with other people if you're listening. Like, I don't know. Reach out. Let me know if there's something you want to talk about.
Watch this and watch The Bear on Hulu.
Yeah, The Bear's coming up.
It'll rock your world.
Yeah, and I'll try to find some movies too. I know I'm getting a little into TV's great right now though. So
I know, it's so good. Like the miniseries is like
so good. I mean, and if Handmaids ever comes back.
Such a good one too. Did you watch the new movie, The Flower Moon? Was it Death of the Flower Moon or whatever it was?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I want to see that.
Leonardo.
Yeah. Mm. Still, did you see it?
Yeah, we saw it in the theater.
I want to go see it. We'll have to discuss.
We watched it at Milford. It was nice because you have the heated seat.
Yeah.
Which I love. The heated lazy boy. It's intense.
It's intense. Well, it's Scorsese.
Yeah.
He doesn't F around.
But you know what was interesting about that? Sorry, I know we want
to go ahead. It's okay.
The very end, they talk about like the true crime podcasts. Like, you know how you turned me into the one show that you love?
Oh, My Favorite Murder?
Yes. That started like in the Truman era. They like did like true crime
radio shows.
Yeah, which I didn't realize.
Like ham radio.
Yeah, it was really cool. They had like the whole, it was neat. I was like, oh, okay, that was cool.
I know, it kind of came back. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
The people were like, we should bring back
true crime.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Oh, but you want to watch another scary ass show?
Yeah, let's
hear it. Amazon Prime, watch The Secrets That You Keep.
Yes, I did see that.
Scary.
That's another one.
Yeah, scary.
It is scary.
There's not very much blood on that one, and I could not sleep at night.
That one is like another, like where it's just, yeah, secrets, same stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody. Thank you, and guys, we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Down, I let the monster out.